Blog Talk Radio. Wayne Dyer's teachings have transformed many lives, especially when he was invited to always ask, "How may I serve?" A renowned psychic medium continues to bring us channeled messages of wisdom from Dr. Wayne Dyer and others. Stay tuned. Welcome to the Healthy Baby Boomers Network Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, licensed mental health counselor, healing through love relationship healer, somatic body psychotherapist, and health and wellness coach, helping men and women heal their bodies and their relationships through love. Author of the Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me book series, the romantic novel Love in the Blizzard of Life, and creator of the powerful 30 Healing Through Love Lessons. This show is all about living your dreams, fulfilling your life purpose, and creating and sustaining love and health and total well-being for the rest of your life, no matter what age you are right now. In every episode, I speak with vibrant, exciting, and positive men and women who keep proving that life can and often does get better and better as we reach our 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and beyond. Karen Noe, author of the book We Consciousness, claims that this book was a collaboration with her WE guides, including Dr. Wayne Dyer, St. Francis of Assisi, and other angels and ascended masters who were instruments of peace while in this world. Her book provides a world-changing message for humanity. So I'm really excited to be speaking with you today, Karen Noe.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, and I started by mentioning to you that I was having breakfast at a place, a local French cafe that my friend who passed away in July introduced me to. So I was really feeling sad, especially knowing that I was going to be speaking to you today. So I'm just excited to hear your background and what your education and training was and your natural gifts. What led you to do the work that you do and connect with angels and deceased loved ones? Tell us about your process.
Okay, well, I was always psychic, even as a little girl. My father used to take me to the racetrack, and I'd pick the winning horses for him. Now I'm an animal activist, so I don't go to the racetrack. But about 25 years ago, I was going through a difficult time in my life, and I just sat at the edge of my bed and I yelled at God. And I said, am I going to be okay? And when I was saying that, I actually saw a light that came towards me from the other side of the room. And my first response was, if you're not of God, please leave. But the more I said that, the more it kept coming towards me, and eventually the light enveloped me. At that time, I heard an audible voice that said, "Lucia Lucina, Bella Lucia Lucina." And for those who are Italian, they know what that means. It means light, little light, beautiful little light. And I have since learned through meditation and subsequent messages that it was St. Francis of Assisi, who's been guiding and protecting me ever since. For those who've read my books or follow me on Facebook, you'll see my St. Francis connection with the animals and peace and so forth. But right after that experience, I started receiving messages from the angels and deceased loved ones. And I didn't want to share the messages I received because I didn't want people to think I was not in my right mind. But the more I gave the messages, the more the living loved one knew without a doubt that it was their deceased loved one. So the crazier the message, the better, because they knew there's no way I would have known certain things, such as right in the beginning, I received a message. Some gentleman was coming through, and he told me his name, and he showed me a kangaroo with boxing gloves punching the air. Now, you know, I'm just learning how to receive messages at that time, so I didn't want to share it because it couldn't possibly mean anything, or so I thought. So, but I finally gave in, and I said, you know, this gentleman here named Robert, and I told her he said he died in a car accident, but he's showing me a kangaroo with boxing gloves. And at that time, I was doing Reiki, energy healing. She was on the massage table. She jumped off the table, and she screamed. She said, "That's my friend Robert. He died in a car accident, and he boxed kangaroos in Australia." So that was one of
wow.
my first messages. You know, there's no way I could have made that up or have known that or, so, you know, and so forth. And so what happened was word spread. You know, she told a few people, and then they told a few people. And eventually I was booked a couple of years ahead of time. And we get to the present time. I'm not even taking any new clients because I'm booked a couple of years ahead of time. But my purpose here on Earth is to teach people how to do what I'm doing, not necessarily to say, look what I can do, because I know we all can do this. Truly, we can.
So you're saying that we can all connect with deceased loved ones?
Yes, we just have to learn how to do it. For example, most people expect to hear an audible voice, whereas I did when I received that message with the Lucha Lucina, but that was pretty much the only time I heard an audible voice. Most people expect to see an apparition of their loved one, but in reality, deceased loved ones, they don't have a physical body. So when they're speaking to us, they speak to us telepathically. They speak to us as thoughts that just pop in our head for no reason. And so I have to teach people how to differentiate your own thoughts about your loved one and them coming through. And how you do that is your thought will have an originating thought. Like, in other words, you think about your loved one. Something would have triggered that thought, whether it be you passed, like you were in the restaurant, and that reminded you
yes.
of your loved one, right? So that was you.
And
now, right?
And I had your book in front of me.
Yeah, that's it.
This.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that is you. So you have to, like, look back, see, did something trigger this thought? And if so, that's you. But most of the time when our loved ones come to us, they come to us telepathically, that something they would have said or done just pops in your head for no reason. For no reason. And that's how I learned mm-hmm. how to receive messages. This boxing kangaroo, for example, and subsequent messages, it comes in my mind's eye. It's not that I see it outside of myself. You know, when you read a book about a red schoolhouse, you kind of see that, if that makes sense. And so
yeah.
if you learn how to do this, it really comes naturally. And then, of course, they love to give us signs to let us know they're with us. So we need to ask them to give us signs. And we could talk about that later, but I could go on and on about the many ways that they are coming through to us in dreams and so forth.
Well, I can share with you that when my mother died, right before she passed away, I asked her for a sign. And then I went back to her house and got a dress ready for her. And when I got on a bus going back to New York City, on the seat where I was about to sit was something that said, "Jews for Jesus," wrapped in plastic with rubber bands around it. And she had a million things wrapped in plastic with rubber bands
oh
around.
Oh, my gosh.
In the
there
house.
There you go.
So I knew it was
yes.
a message from her. And I looked up, and there was a newspaper. Someone was holding this magazine with about Jews for Jesus. And it was a picture that looked just like my brother.
Oh, my
know,
gosh.
Those two things. I said, oh, my God.
You
know,
you
accepting God. That's,
yeah.
That's what I felt.
That's what I call a without a doubt sign. I call them without a doubt, things that normally wouldn't happen. And you know right away, even those who don't understand about signs, you know, I'm not sure, but you did ask for a sign. But some people don't even ask, and they receive the sign, and they know without a doubt it was their loved one. So that's lovely. I love it. I love to hear things like that. See, but you receive the signs.
Yes. And
yes.
And so now I want to ask you about the WE guides. Who are these WE guides, and how did you
okay.
realize they were there?
Well, that's kind of a long story. It begins with the Dr. Wayne Dyer connection. I don't know if you know who Wayne Dyer is. He has written many books. They called him the father of inspiration. And after he passed, through synchronistic events, his children, his daughters came into my life. I was sitting on an author bus going to a tribute to him, and there was one seat available, and his daughter sat next to me, et cetera. It was subsequent events like that. And then he started to come through. So it was just, it's almost as if he had a big hand in that. But the first year I was connecting with him, I was trying to stay awake for New Year's Eve, and it was about 8 p.m., and I couldn't stay awake, so I said, okay, I'm going to take a nap, so I'll be able to stay awake for midnight. And I went to lie down, and as I'm lying down, I felt Wayne Dyer come through directly for me. And he said, now's the time to do what you came on Earth to do. I immediately knew what that was. That was to promote peace on Earth. I've known that since I was a child. And so I said to him, okay, am I going to be channeling a book directly from you? And he said, yes and no. Now let me backtrack by saying that whole year and subsequent years, he has 8 children and a wife, and he'd been coming through almost 3 to 4 times a week for one of them at least. I'd been on the phone with them with things that I would never have known, such as that like boxing kangaroo story, but different things like that. They knew without a doubt it was Wayne. So when he spoke to me, I knew it was truly him. And so I said, am I going to be channeling? And he said, yes and no. I said, I don't understand what that means. And he said he was going to be joining forces with a group consciousness called the We Guides that includes St. Francis of Assisi as well as Ascended Masters and Angels. And he was going to be joining with them. And when he comes through with that particular group consciousness, it would be hard to differentiate him from everybody else, whereas he would still be able to come through for his family and friends singularly. He would still come through to give me these messages of peace with the We Guides. And they were going to be giving me 33 concepts. And I said, why 33? And he said 33 symbolizes divine guidance and spiritual uplifting of all of creation. So that was the purpose of this book. And he told me that I had been receiving messages from the We Guides my whole life. I didn't realize it. And everyone could tap into this. It's not just me. Again, I know that my purpose is to teach people what I'm doing, to empower people to do what I'm doing. But this particular message of peace is very important at this time on Earth.
I can attest to that. All we have to do is turn on the news, every minute. Even in North Carolina, where they have all these storms, there's people looting. There's always something. There's so much good. There's so many people rescuing and caring, but there's also other side.
That's exactly the purpose of this whole thing. We need to focus on what's right and focus on the many blessings and focus on solutions instead of the problems. And when we shift our vibration, shift our focus to what is right, we raise the vibration of the planet, because the more you focus upon something, the more that grows. The more you focus on what's wrong, the more of that grows. So I don't know about you, but I would like to focus on the peace and love around us and make that grow on our planet.
I would love that also. And my focus is creating love, sharing love.
Yeah.
I mean, it's love and peace. That's all that we really want.
Absolutely.
We want to be happy and feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you have 33 powerful concepts. So tell us about a few of these.
Sure. Well, the most important truth is concept one. It's that we are all one. Now, it's hard to understand that when we're in the physical body, to say that we're all one, because it seems that you're over there, I'm over here, and the other person's in another place, because our bodies separate us. As soon as you leave the physical body, you're able to feel that immediately, the connection of everyone and everything. For example, after we pass, we go through a life review where we're able to see and feel how we have affected each person in our life as if we are the other person. And the reason for that is because we are the other person. And you finally are able to understand that and feel that,
I'd like to just add something. One of the issues is the other person may say things or do things in a way that hurts us and doesn't feel like we're one. So how do you deal with that?
What you need to do is if somebody hurts you, this is the most important thing, is to forgive, because, and I'm not saying it's easy, but it's well worth our effort, because it's not the snake bite that kills us. It's the venom that's left behind. So what we need to do is try to see through their eyes. Why are they doing what they're doing? You know, maybe they, who knows? Try to understand it. In other words, after we pass, we're able to see that. So let's try to see why they act the way they do. You know, I talk a lot about this in one of my books. It's called Through the Eyes of Another. You know, trying to go through your life review right now. Try to understand it. Doesn't mean what they're doing is right. Absolutely not. But to try to understand why they're doing it. And if not, you know, disconnect from them. I'm not saying to stay connected to them, to be in their, you know, to hang out with them or whatever, but not to allow them to hurt you, if that makes sense. Don't lower your perspective in order to understand theirs either.
Hmm, that's powerful. So tell us some of your other concepts.
Okay. As exactly number 10, I'm looking right at it. It's imperative to focus on what is right in the world instead of what's wrong. And that's exactly what we were talking about. The more we focus on what we want, the more what we, you know, want will be created, because we are vibrational beings and we're attracting exactly what we're thinking and feeling, if that makes sense. We truly are. We think our thoughts don't affect the world or our feelings, but they do. So it's important to focus on what you do want instead of what, you know, what is happening. Another one that I'm working on myself, number 14, that's important to love and respect yourself and understand that you are just as significant as everybody else. I'm very good at, you know, forgiving and loving everyone else, and I always put myself last. And, you know, we have to realize that when we understand that we are part of the we consciousness, we're not less. You know, we're just as important as they are, and to treat ourselves with the respect that, you know, that we deserve as well. So, you know, I could go on and
here.
On about the concepts, but.
Yeah, Karen, what about, have you ever felt insecure or less than others? I certainly have. And all of us nowadays are feeling that way if we look at the internet, because everybody looks like they have such a perfect family life, and maybe ours doesn't measure up. So have you ever felt any of that?
Yeah, but they're just posting the happy things is what they're doing. And to understand that, you know, that they're probably going through a lot of, well, who knows? It doesn't matter. But, yes, absolutely.
Yes. So how do you overcome that when you start feeling that insecurity?
Well, I try to, this is one that I am working on, you know, you try to see, if we understand, one of the concepts of the we consciousness is that we have God within us. God's not just outside in the, you know, in the sky and so forth. So if we understand we have God within us and we are, you know, we're able to create miracles in our lives because of that, when we put ourselves down and last, we're actually doing that to God within us. So I try to remember that, and I try to, you know, this is the one that I really am working on myself. So there's some affirmations you could say, you know, I am significant. You could walk around saying that in your mind, I am significant. I am making a difference in the world. And even though you don't believe it to be so at first, you kind of fake it until you make it. And you keep saying it. And eventually you say, yeah, I am. I am significant. I am doing that, you know. So whatever you need to hear from others is really what you need to tell yourself. So if you're not hearing, you know, that you're a good person, whatever it is, you need to hear that from somebody else. Tell yourself exactly that. You'd be surprised. It does work. And say an affirmation about that, whatever it is.
Well, I find sometimes the world seems to give back something negative. Like I send out a newsletter and there are people that unsubscribe. You know, and I'll look at the ones that unsubscribe rather than all of the people that unsubscribe.
I do the same thing. I do the same thing. And you say, what did I do? Did I send out too many emails? But in reality, let's think of it this way. The people who unsubscribe, they're not on your vibrational frequency. So it's better. You're sending it out to people who really want to hear your message. So it's kind of, it's okay.
Right.
It's nothing that you did. It's a reflection of them. It's not a reflection of you. So that's what you have to understand,
right,
too. But you know what? I do the same thing. I do the same thing.
I mean, any of us is out there. But that's just a sample. It happens with your friends. It happens with people not understanding what you're talking about. I'm sure you've run into that with what you do with people who poo-poo it.
Well, the whole point, this is the most important thing, is I never would start talking about this stuff to someone who wouldn't understand. They would come to me and ask me questions, and then I would talk about it, you know, because I give you an example. I do Reiki healing, you know, it's energy healing, and I teach people how to do that. And one of my, the person I taught her, she said she was so upset. She went in the supermarket. Somebody was coughing, and she started to do Reiki on them. I said, you can't do that. Because the person got mad. I said, you have to wait till the person asks you, you know, because, you know, I know she wanted to heal the world, but the same with us. We do want to heal the world, but sometimes it's not, you know, it's like you turn to on the radio to 1300 AM, but you're trying to connect to 3200 FM. It's not. They're not going to resonate with your message. So don't be upset if they don't understand it. I share a story in the We Consciousness in the book about a gentleman. His name is T.D. Jakes. And I'll summarize it. I hope I do it justice. But he was telling the story about a giraffe and a turtle. And the giraffe is only able to see high up in the trees. You know, and it's all it eats up in the trees and all of that. The turtle is only able to see what's on the ground. Now, if the giraffe lowers its neck to try to understand what the turtle's going through, it could actually kill himself. The blood will rush to his head. But to be angry at the turtle for not understanding what the giraffe is seeing up there, it's silly, because turtle's is where he is, right? And the same with us. You know, we can hurt ourselves when we try to lower our perspective to understand why, right? But, you know, we could gradually uplift them without lowering our vibration. We could lift them up slowly but surely, as much as they are willing to listen to, but we can't force it.
Well, everyone has their own purpose and their own path, and they may
exactly.
have things that they have to learn. And it also doesn't help for us to lower our own standards to meet someone else. You've said that, I think, many times in the book.
Many times. It's very important, you know. And, you know, I'm all about being – I'm an empath. I feel everybody's emotions as if they are my own, but I can't stay there because it would hurt me. And that's what we have to understand. We could help people without lowering our own perspective. And, yes, I do say it time again because it's so important.
That leads to another question. How can we raise our vibration back to its natural loving state rather than coming down and getting affected by other people?
There's many, many ways, things that we could do. Practice forgiveness, for one. As I was saying before, be more grateful for whatever is in our life instead of focusing on what's wrong, to be grateful for the many blessings, you know, our health, that we woke up in our beds, the water, et cetera. You know, focus on what's going well in your life. Another thing we could do is spend time in nature. It's something very helpful, especially if you could take your shoes off and walk around on the grass and you ground yourself. That really does raise your vibration. Have more compassion for people around you. It's not always easy, but it's definitely worth our effort, you know. And it's another thing, as we were talking about before, is try to see through the other person's eyes, you know, why they do what they do. That's another thing. I always tell people, don't wait until it's too late to go to see that way. Ask to become a vehicle of love and service. But what I do every morning, I say, how may I serve? And I added myself and others, because it was always about others. Mm-hmm. It was always about how may I serve? How may I serve? And and then the universe gave me things to, you know, help serve the world. But I always put myself last. So now I say, how may I serve myself and others? So when you do all of these things, you're raising your vibration so it's more on par with the energy of God within you.
And I've begun to see another piece of serving others is when I express what's true for me. It's like if someone is not showing compassion toward me, I want them to know that it's affecting me. And I speak up because they may not realize.
Yes, And how do they react when you say that? They didn't realize it, or they get will be upset. But don't forget,
well,
that's a reflection of
that's
them.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It's interesting because recently I did it with two people that are very successful in the world and on the internet, you know, and I wrote it. I spoke to the support for one person and I wrote it in an email. So I don't know the response yet. I know the support people
it doesn't
are very helpful. Right, it doesn't
It was
matter.
Good for you.
So good.
That, because,
right. It's,
yeah.
That's exactly
it's
right.
It's important
I
for you to feel better,
responses.
Too.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
To not take in something negative, to speak up and speak my truth.
Yes, you could do that. I tell people, speak your truth in a loving, positive way. You could do that. You know, we
yes,
don't have to yell or, you
way.
Know, point the finger, but we could say, oh, you, I do something, I just say something like, ouch. You know, like when they say something, they go, oh, I didn't mean it, you know? And then they realize it's just trying to understand that, you know, you just hurt me. Yeah.
That's a great thing to say in a relationship when your partner does something hurtful.
Yes, exactly.
Rather than attacking or saying, how could you do that? It's just, ouch, they'll get it.
Yeah, that's all.
Simple. All right, so why do you encourage us to become a messenger of peace?
Well, what's working on... You know, on the planet right now, there's a lot of negativity, but there's also a lot of positivity. And the only way to create peace on this planet is not to create another war. It's to raise each person's
mm-hmm.
vibration to become more loving who they really are. It's just remembering who we really are. That's all it is. And if each of us does that, you know, we would treat each other with the respect that they deserve. We would treat ourselves with the respect that we deserve. And peace would become a reality on the planet. So instead of focusing on, you know, the war is never going to do that because it's always pointing the finger. You have to try to see through the other person's point of view why. You may not understand why, certainly, and it doesn't mean that you have to understand them or agree, but say, okay, that's what you're saying. Okay, this is what I'm saying. Let's come to a happy medium here. You know, try to go there. Again, it's not always easy. I'll say it again.
Well, sometimes we may be coming from a good place, you know, wanting love and connection, and the other person coming from a using, take advantage place.
Right.
So how do you deal with
that? Well, then you disconnect from their energy, send them love in your mind, disconnect from their energy, and, you know, when you change yourself, then the people around you will change as well. They will. Because, again, we're vibrational beings, so whatever we're thinking and feeling is attracting more of that. But a lot of times people say, but I wouldn't have ever attracted this or that. And I'd say, yes, that's very true. You didn't do it intentionally. But whatever we resist persists. So we really
mm-hmm.
don't want this. We don't say we really don't want somebody to unsubscribe or whatever it is. We don't. We don't want that. But the
yeah.
more we say that, the more it happens. Because, yeah, as soon as I send out a mailing, you know, you look at constant contact. I'm like, oh, the unsubscribes. I do the same thing. So what am I doing? I'm focusing on the unsubscribe, whereas most people are still on my list, right? So
right,
I have to listen
away.
To what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. You can teach it, but then in your own life sometimes.
Yeah, of course.
You don't follow
all
it.
Right. I'm learning, too, for sure.
So another question, what are the different types of celestial beings in the universe, and what are some of the common signs they might send us?
Sure. Oh, that's one of my favorite questions. Well, of course, it starts with God, the angels. Now, we have guardian angels as well as the archangels. We all have guardian angels that are just ours from the moment we're born till the moment we pass, and even after that. And the archangels can be in more than one place at one time. There's Archangel Michael, who takes away negativity. And if you call upon him, you're not taking him away from somebody else. Then there's ascended masters. That's beings who have been here on the planet who are very evolved, such as St. Francis. There's also enlightened beings from other areas of the universe. that's other planets that have loving, positive. We're talking about celestial beings, you know, of a higher vibration, and also deceased loved ones. So they're all part of the whole, and they're part of who we are. But they love to give us signs to let us know they're with us. And I call them without a doubt signs. And if you haven't been receiving signs, I'd say ask them to give you a sign and to make sure to be aware. And it'll happen when you least expect it. For one of the most common is they come through as animals, whether it be a bird, a ladybug, a butterfly, a dragonfly. But this type of animal would do something it normally wouldn't do, such as land on you, or, you know, a butterfly would keep circling you. Something that stands out, you know, something that doesn't normally happen. It's not that they're always an animal. They use their energy to come inside the animal to let you know that they're with you. They like to show us the same numbers over and over, whether it be 111, 222, their birthday. Or if a car cuts you off, notice the license plate. It could be your loved one's name and so forth. They love to make rainbows appear. They love to give off fragrances for no reason, whether it be perfume, flowers for no reason. They come to us in dreams. They place, you know, pennies in our path, feathers. I could go on and on. But most people, even if they're not aware or they didn't understand that their loved one was around them, when they start receiving the signs, they know. It's their loved one. They know.
Yes,
so that's where I call it without a doubt.
I have a colleague whose husband passed away, and she saw the roses suddenly bloom, or one rose. She knew it was from him.
Beautiful. See, she knew. And it stood out,
right,
and so forth. So that's exactly what I'm talking about. Something that stands out, and you just know.
Well, so how do you work with clients? What happens? Do you do it on the phone? Do you do it in person? Just explain what goes on.
Okay, well, I do something a little bit differently than most psychics would do. I do healing. I do Reiki healing. It's energy healing because the living loved one is the one who needs to be healed. The one who's passed certainly is okay, and they just want the living loved one to be okay too. So as I'm doing the Reiki on them or different types of healing that I talk about in one of my books, Your Life After Their Death, whether it be tapping or anything like that, as I'm doing the healing, their loved ones are coming through and I'm writing it all down on a piece of paper, you know, their name and things that only their loved one would know and so forth. And I always encourage them to ask their loved ones to give them a sign. I always encourage them to ask their deceased loved ones to come to them in a dream and to wake them up after the dream so that they remember it. You know, oftentimes they do come to us in dreams, but you're not waking up after it, so you don't remember it. But when I tell them that, it's important to understand there's two types of dreams from our deceased loved one. One is a true dream, a true visitation. When you wake up from that, you know that it was them. I mean, a lot of times if the person was older when they passed, they come younger. They feel wonderful. You wake up and you feel like you won the lottery. A dream from your subconscious would be different. It's not your loved one. It would be scary, frightening, how they died, trying to resolve issues. That's you trying to work on issues. So there's a big difference. You know when you have a true visitation and when it's not. If it feels good, it's your loved one. But, I went off track, but that's what I do in an appointment. Yeah.
And do you work with someone one time or several times? How does that work?
Well, they always, the client, when they come, they always say, oh, you know, they always want to come back, and they know they have to wait 2 years because I'm booked for 2 years ahead of time. So as soon as they leave, they make an appointment for 2 years later, and I had to actually stop taking new clients because the ones who come to see me always want to come back because it's really about the healing. It's really about creating the peace in their life. You know, it's about the Reiki and just feeling good again and connecting. That's a part of it, but it's not everything.
That's amazing that you have a 2-year waiting list.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And then you did say something in your book that you started taking weekends off so you could have a life.
Yes. I had to, because I always felt badly. Oh, they always say, but me, you know, and everyone who comes to see me has had a loss. you know, unless it's a real emergency, you know, if it's an emergency, then of course I'll make exceptions. But, you know, they have to understand that every single person that comes to me is pretty much the same, you know, going through that. So, yeah, I couldn't do it anymore because I couldn't give what I didn't have anymore. You know, when I was depleted, I was working 7 days a week. You know, I'd answer emails when I got home.
Wow.
Oh, you know, it's never ending, phone calls and so forth. So I had to set a limit or else I couldn't be helpful at anyone.
Well,
yeah.
So it seems that it would be very helpful for you to train other people. And maybe do you do any workshops or anything a little larger?
Yes, I do.
Rather than one-on-one. Tell us about that.
That's probably my favorite thing to do is, yeah, I teach people. I have a center in Waltwick, New Jersey, where I teach classes. I have an Angel Quest certification program because I'd like to recommend people. Like, people come to see me, they say, if you're not taking any new clients, would you recommend anyone? And the ones that I've trained, you know, I say this one or that, you know, I do that. I'm also, I'm traveling. I'm going to be teaching at Omega Institute with Wayne Dyer's daughters in October 12th, 13th,
Wonderful.
And 14th. So that'll be good. And we talk a little bit about that, too, how to empower people, how to do what I'm doing. We talk about the weak consciousness, and they'll talk about their dad and what it was like growing up with him as a dad and so forth, the signs you get. But, yes, I do teach classes. I don't know if anyone is in the New Jersey area, New Jersey, New York. You know that most of my classes are in New Jersey, but you can find that on my website at KarenNoe.com. That's KarenNoe.com.
Wow. And your book. You have more than one book. Just tell us about your books and where they can get that.
Okay, the latest one, The Weak Consciousness, is that's the one that's about the Wayne Dyer connection and about the 33 mm-hmm. concepts for inner and outer peace. You can find that on Amazon and any local bookstore, as well as on my website, KarenNoe.com. And again, I do have other books, Your Life After Their Death, you know, teaching people how to do what I do. That's pretty much everything I've learned over the years, you know, how to raise your vibration to be more on par with their energy, how to receive signs, and how to heal yourself after the loss of a loved one.
Mm, beautiful. Well, Karen, I guess we have to end soon, so can you give us a message, something you would say to people that can really help them to become messengers of peace, to raise their vibration,
yeah.
whatever you think is
yes.
valuable.
I would think, I would love to say this, you know, as I was talking about before, after we pass, we go through a life review and we're able to see how we've affected people, you know, seeing through their eyes. But I tell people, why do you have to wait to do that? Do it right here and now. Ask those in your life, tell them how much that you love them now before it's too late, because oftentimes they come through and say, I should have, could have, would have told you how much I loved you, but now it's too late. Tell them now, you know, forgive those who hurt you. Ask forgiveness for those that you hurt and treat yourself with the respect that you deserve. And in so doing, you'll be creating peace in your life and in the lives around you as well.
Beautiful. Karen Noe, thank you so much for all the work that you do to help heal the planet.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, and it was a pleasure speaking with you today. And to those of you listening, I am your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, saying goodbye for now. Please visit my website, drericagoodstone.com. You can get a free consultation or check out some of the free reports and videos. There's a lot of information there. And I look forward to speaking to you again soon.